Is there life beyond the grave? Are there times that the power from another realm can enter into this realm and do things that can't be done naturally or by any means of men? There was a young woman who had been blind for 13 years. She became blind in a three-month period in her 18th year of life because of juvenile macular degeneration in her eyes. She ended up going to a school for the blind. She had to use a white cane to learn how to get around. She learned to read Braille, and she married after a short time. She married a young Baptist pastor by the name of A.C. Ford. They lived in Holland, Michigan. They'd been married 10 years. It was one evening in their home. They had a custom that he would read a couple of Bible verses every night and they would pray. This night they were late getting to bed. It was after midnight. He had quickly read a couple of verses and got down on his knee, put his hand on her shoulder, and they both were in the room that night just weeping. They had so longed for her to be able to see. But in the natural, there was no hope for that. They weren't cessationists. They believed that God could do miracles. But that night, that young Baptist pastor, as he lay his hand on his wife's shoulder, he began to pray, "Oh Lord, you can do miracles. You can heal Marilyn's eyes. Dear God, I ask you to heal her eyes and do it tonight." She testified, she opened her eyes at that moment, and for the first time ever, she saw her husband's face. She said, I can see. She looked over on the dresser and she saw a little photograph of her 4.5-year-old daughter whose face she had never seen before, and she was able to see that picture clearly. God, supernaturally, she said, in a moment, after years of darkness, I could see. She actually wrote a book about it, went around the country sharing this. There have been researchers from 4 different medical places that have looked through her records, studied them. This has been published in a medical journal. It's very documented and verified. Some say, just a spontaneous coincidence. But that's not what she and AC believed. They knew in that moment the supernatural power of the Spirit of God came into the room, came into their realm, touched her eyes, and she could see again. And she passed away year before last, 85 years of age, and for 52 years, those eyes that God healed could still see well. This morning, I want to talk about one miracle morning. When the power of God came into an empty tomb, and something a man could never do happened. And the dead body of Jesus of Nazareth came to life again after having been crucified. We just shared our confession that included what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 that tells us about that. Do you believe Christ rose from the dead? It's a foundational tenet, a foundational belief of Christianity. I'll paraphrase something C.S. Lewis once said. If you believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, then Christianity is of no importance. But if you believe it is true, there is nothing else more important. You see, your belief that God raised Jesus from the dead is part of the faith required to be born of the Spirit of God. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that brings about a new birth, that takes you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own dear Son, the kingdom of light, that open your eyes that are blinded because of spiritual death so that you can see the reality that He indeed is the living God who sent His only Son, who is the Lord who has risen from the dead. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." He's referencing the occasion on the Damascus Road when Jesus appeared to him. He remembers that. He said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That phrase, according to the Scriptures, is references to Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus, the Son of God. We continue in 1 Corinthians 15 down at verse 12, and Paul makes a staggering statement. He says, "Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty." Simply put, Paul is saying, what we're gathered here doing today and what you're hearing coming out of my mouth right now is useless and worthless if Christ did not rise from the dead. It's foundational. It is fundamental. It is bedrock truth that we must always stand firmly upon. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. His bodily resurrection. A body like you and I have that had died. God brought it to life again. Now there's three different mornings I want to talk about today as we spend this time together in the Word. And the first one is simply the Sunday morning power. This is a reference to the first resurrection, the only resurrection of Jesus, but what we would say why we're gathering here today on Resurrection Sunday, the Easter season, is remembering that first miracle morning. It was miraculous power that brought Jesus out of the tomb. Here's how Matthew recorded it. "But the angel answered and said to the women," to who? Who did the angel talk to? Okay. And what did he tell them? He said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." It was an empty tomb. By the way, the women were the first people ever given the privilege of preaching the full gospel message. How Christ had died and had been raised from the dead. Yes, the Lord can use the ladies. Now notice, it says, I underlined this part for you, who seek Jesus, who was crucified. It's very clear He was dead. If you've studied Roman crucifixion, even Josephus mentions the death of Jesus of Nazareth. It's recorded biblically and from other sources. And if you understand Roman crucifixion, then you know He was dead. And we see here, He is not here. His body was missing. Now, the people came up with a lie to try to cover what had happened, but the truth is, He had been raised from the dead. And the angelic messenger said, "For He is risen. And go quickly," this is what He tells the women, "and tell His disciples," you ladies, you go tell the men, "that He is risen from the dead, and indeed He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you." People actually saw Jesus after He had been raised from the dead. There are numerous instances in the New Testament. I'm not going to go over that. He was seen by a lot of folks, and many of the people who saw him, they faced their own death by execution rather than renounce what they had seen. The Sunday morning power. This, we are told here again, he is risen from the dead. You will see him. Those are important parts of those scriptures. The Bible unequivocally states that Jesus was bodily resurrected from the dead. That word for resurrection, the word for risen, is the Greek word anastasis. Stasis means to stand. The ana means again, to stand again. Standing up again is what it means. The dead body of Jesus was laid on a stone slab in a tomb, but 3 days later, the power of God stood him back up again. And when that stone was rolled away, that tomb was empty. And that stone had been sealed by Roman soldiers who were present when it happened. They had to bribe them big time to keep them from spilling the beans of what really happened. So, the idea of God raising someone from the dead is very personally meaningful to me. Some of you have heard my story, that when I was born on April the 11th, 1958, that means I'm about to be 68 years old, in a little hospital down in Winfield, Alabama. My mom went into labor. She was having a hard time delivering me. My umbilical cord had been wrapped around my neck multiple times, so when she was contracting and trying to push me out of her womb, I was it was like being hung on by a noose. They had to do emergency surgery to get me out of her belly. And when they did, the doctor checked me out, shook me, did all that stuff, and pronounced me dead, laid me aside. My mom, as a result of what had happened, had been some tears and stuff, and she was hemorrhaging. Now, my mom testified later. Her family heard this, and my mom and dad told me these things as I grew up and other people that were aware of it, even one of the people who was a nurse present. And my mom testified that when this was happening, she said she left her body, went up above the ceiling. She was able to look down, see her body being worked on by the doctor and nurses. She saw my body laying over there on the side, and she said she looked over, and she could even see in the waiting room and saw her family, her mom and dad. She later would tell them what they were talking about while they waited for news of what was going on. I know that sounds freaky, bizarre. I'm just testifying what I have been told all my life. The doctors met with my parents afterwards. They were told I would never walk, I would never talk, that I would be a vegetable all the days of my life. But as you can tell, I am still walking, I am still talking. Some may think I'm a fruitcake, but they never called me a vegetable. So the idea of God bringing somebody back from the dead means something to me. You know, he still does that from time to time. I remember being outside of Nairobi, ministering into a village, pastor that I knew over there. And it was really interesting because one of the pastors from a neighboring church, the pastor introduced me to him, and they were telling me the story of how they had a member that had recently died. They brought that man's dead body into the church and laid him there, and they prayed for him all that day and through the night. And I think they told me it was like 18 hours later, after he had been pronounced dead, that he began to move and sat up and was completely not only alive, but well. God raised him from the dead and healed him. There are numerous stories like that today. God is a God of power. And the first miracle morning, the one miracle morning I'm talking about, is when God raised Jesus from the dead. That set in motion a chain event in which the Spirit of Jesus would be entering into the lives of believers who would carry his message to the nations of the world. And one of the last things he told those believers before he ascended to the Father, I want you to go out. I want you to preach the gospel. He said, you're going to speak in tongues. You're going to lay hands on sick people. They're going to get well. If somebody tries to poison you and take you out, I'm going to protect you. Stuff like that. In other words, he broadcast and prophesied that there would be ongoing miracles that would occur in his people on the earth. It's not an age relegated to the first century. He still raised from the dead. He's still saving people. He's still setting people free. He's still healing people. I'm the first one to say I don't completely understand how all that works, but I've read the manual that says do it. So the best thing to do is just do what the manual says and leave the results to God. Because we're talking about a power that operates in one realm and manifests into our realm. And we don't pull the levers on that. We don't milk the system to make it work. It is the power of God's Spirit. But I tell you what we should do is believe, pray, press in, and expect. Because Jesus told those same disciples, I want you to do these things. I want you to do these things until the end of the age. He also said, not only do I want you to do these things to the end of the age, but I'm going to be in your midst, confirming this word with signs following. That's what the manual says. So this is miracle working power rooted in the resurrection of Christ. Because he's been raised. He's been ascended. And when he ascended, he was seated. And then Father kept his promise to him. He poured out the Holy Spirit on his disciples who were waiting and praying. At that moment, the same Spirit that had dwelt in Jesus began operating in them. And we are after their order. That brings me to the second morning I want to talk about. Not just the Sunday morning power, but the every morning presence. You see, we're celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Jesus today, but it's more than a historical fact and event. The miracle of the first Easter is now the continuing miracle power on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning. It's the every morning presence and power of God. Paul said it this way. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of you, you don't belong to him. To be born of the Spirit means the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to reside and dwells inside of you. Read 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Let's read this out of Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does, that's what the Bible teaches, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give his life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Father God, through the Holy Spirit, raised God the Son from the dead. As I said, who's now ascended and seated. The promise of the Father was the Spirit to come. Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit lives in the lives of we believers. Because we are now the body of Christ in the realm of earth. Our Lord is seated, enthroned at Father's right hand. making intercession for us in his glorified resurrected body. He is seated there. But by Spirit, he indwells all believers. You can't put the Holy Spirit in a bottle and look at it like you could apple cider vinegar. You can't contain him. Spirit is not like the material realm. The Spirit invades the realms. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But there is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers in the same way that Jesus was indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So this is a powerful verse. This tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now is inside of you. Say this with me. The very same Spirit who has the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of me as a believer. And he will quicken my mortal body. Now, I think there's at least a dual meaning of the idea of him giving life or quickening. Same idea, quickening or giving life to our mortal bodies. One is a reference to the future resurrection. That these bodies, though they may die, they will one day be made to be alive again. But also there is a present tense meaning to this. That he is there right now and he is giving life to your mortal body. He is enabling you to do what you cannot humanly do. He gives you a strength you do not humanly have. There are times he gives you bursts of insight, illumination, revelation, information that come into your mind by means of his Spirit to guide and direct you. There is the giving of gifts, the bearing of his fruit in our life. That's all part of him giving life to our mortal bodies in the here and now. Now, I must say this, because this is problematic, I believe, among many who profess to be believers. There is a great difference between having faith in the idea of Jesus and knowing the living reality of Jesus in your life. One can just simply be ritual, rote memory, practice, learned behavior. The other is a life-giving, life-transforming, permanent, constant indwelling of the very Spirit of God who filled that tomb with that radioactive or whatever kind of power it was that went zoop, zap, alive again. And there are other kind of zap moments. Now don't look that word zap up in the Greek. You won't find it. But there are times when God can move upon you. Like that precious Baptist pastor and his wife weeping. They had prayed how many times? How many hundreds of people had prayed? But in that moment, at that time, heaven said, I want to do something right now. Boom! Thank God they prayed. They asked. And so we've got to grow more sensitive to the indwelling presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit who's within us. This is the every morning presence. I spoke this week with a friend of mine down in Marion County. We actually now are helping him. He has a jail ministry in the Marion County Jail. And you are providing a meal once a month to all those prisoners. You're providing Bibles to them. And it's amazing the number of people he is seeing come to the Lord through this jail ministry. And so I'm excited about that. So when I was communicating with him and I was asking about where he was serving, he told me the church in Winfield where he's serving as an associate pastor. And I remember years ago that the pastor then had called me down there to do a Saturday evening meeting. And it was one of those meetings where the Lord just showed up. I had preached and God was touching people. There was one young man that came up. He was bound. by cocaine addiction. I mean, he was snorting a line every time he could get in front of one. He was an alcoholic. I'm not talking about just sipping around. If he drank some, he was gone. That kind of. He really had a problem. He had a, I would say, a professional sailor's mouth, to use that term. I mean, he could curse with the best of them and enjoyed it. He shared all this publicly, so I'm not talking out of turn. He was extremely addicted to pornography. And he just loved to brawl, to fight. And he was addicted to nicotine. He had smoked for years. He came up to the altar that night. He had come under conviction. What does that mean? That means through the preaching of the word, the Holy Spirit began to deal with him. He began to feel very uncomfortable. He began to feel a weight of guilt and sin, of guilt before God. And it ultimated into him coming up and giving his life to Christ. He confessed Jesus as Lord, turned from his sin to the Savior, and was gloriously touched from the Lord. Now, he later shared his testimony publicly. And Tim, I know you know who it is, and I know you know where the church is, as well as Tracy and Greg and them from down that way. But it was such a powerful testimony. We ended up moving to Florence, was involved in the church where I pastored at that time. It's been a number of years ago. And it was just amazing to see the change in this man's life. God had delivered him from everything except that nicotine. So he came in to see me one day and said, "Pastor Eddie," he said, "I had such a great deliverance. After I got saved that night, I never had another desire for cocaine or to get drunk. I have no desire to do the pornography thing. And it's my whole way I talk's changed. And everybody wonders what's happened to me." He said, "But I can't seem to get loose. I'm wanting to give up this nicotine. It's just got me. And it's like it controls me. And I know God did that because he did all the other." So I talked to him. And I shared with him, "Well, brother, there's one step you hadn't taken yet. I've talked to you about it." I talked to him again about you need to go into the waters of baptism. And I talked to him. He said, "You know what? I'm going to do that." Well, we lined it up our next baptism. He got baptized. He came out of that water. And by the way, when he got baptized, that ties in with what we're talking about today. When he was baptized, he was saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross." And when I put him under, when he was put under that water, I don't think I baptized him, I think it was one of our other pastors. When he was put under the water, he was saying, "I believe Jesus died and was buried." And when he came up out of the water, he was saying, "I believe Jesus was raised from the dead." He was also saying, "I'm not the person I used to be. That old man is now dead and gone. Now I've been raised in the likeness of Christ to live a new life." And he had been experiencing that to a great degree. He was also saying, "One day, though, this body gives out and it's buried, when Jesus comes back, I'm going to be raised from the dead." Baptism prophesies, it pictures, it presents. It's a beautiful, powerful thing that Jesus commands a person to do. We'll be baptized in a week from this Wednesday night. I encourage you, take the plunge for your Savior if you know him. He doesn't suggest that you be baptized. He commands that you be baptized. So it's just a matter of obedience. But here's what happened to this dear brother. When he came up out of that water, he later testified, "I never had another nicotine craving." It was really a matter of him just taking a step of obedience. Boom! God set him free from that. I'm telling you, there is a present tense power and a present tense always present in the life of a believer. You are not alone. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And the way that's settled is he seals you by his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He's in you as a believer. This is the every morning presence. I want to talk about one more morning. I want to talk about the some morning promise. The some morning promise. I'm telling you, the word of God is clear. There's going to be a great getting up morning. Now, we argue about how these events will unfold. I know when Jesus came the first time. And my belief is the next time he comes will actually be the second time. One, two. And I'm waiting on him. Okay? So I believe it's that coming. And by the way, ever how he does it, it'll be all right. I don't think Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that they're saying, hey, time out. Jesus said, time out, Father. Now, some of my folks down there, they don't believe it's going to happen. And starts unrolling his charts. And they'll say, well, I guess we better redirect. No, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says even Jesus doesn't know the hour he's coming back. But there will come a time when the Father will give him the green light. And Paul said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will what? Will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together, harpazo seats, raptured up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. There's going to be that great getting up morning. This is the some morning promise. Some glad morning when this life is over. That's what that's talking about. We're going to be caught up together. Now, you know Jesus raised people from the dead, don't you, before he was raised from the dead? He raised the son of the widow of Nain from the dead. He raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And all of you know about Lazarus, probably. He had been dead for 4 days. Jesus shows up and says, Lazarus, come on out there, boy. He didn't say it just like that, but he came out. Amen. He had been 4 days in the tomb. But here's the thing. All those people whom Jesus had raised from the dead, they were raised and given the bodies they had before. So when he raised them from the dead, he healed them from whatever took their life. But there came a time when they died again. And their bodies were deposited into the earth, or ever how they decided to be buried, cremated, whatever. Jesus was put in a tomb. He was sealed away in a tomb. Most people here are buried beneath the ground. Some people are cremated. And by the way, Jesus is not going to have any trouble finding you, whatever they do to you. Matter of fact, your spirit is going to be with him when he returns. But here's the difference between like Lazarus and those others being raised from the dead. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised to die no more. He was raised and given a glorified body. There was evidence that it was like the body he had formerly inhabited, but it had been glorified because he still had those nail scars. But it was a glorified body that could not be touched by the curse or death in any way. It was also a glorified body that was able to move and have momentum in different ways than these bodies have. We will have a body when we're raised from the dead like Jesus' body, like he had after he was raised from the dead. That's the some morning promise. I love this scripture here because that part that says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Now that's talking about there will be Christians alive when Jesus comes, and they'll just be translated right on the spot. Just given new glorified bodies. And so, I mean, that tells me right there, if you believe that Jesus is going to come and get all the believers, well, if it works that way, then there's going to be more believers saved because they're going to have to be translated, you see. Which I believe this, well, you know how I believe. The next coming is the second one. But what I want you to see here is that we're going to get our bodies, if you haven't experienced physical death, you'll experience it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be given a new body instantaneously, just like that. Boom. But here's the good part. And you will be called up together with them. Who's the with them? The dead in Christ that have been raised and rejoined with their spirits. Now, your spirit's just given a new body instantaneously, and you see this gathering together. You see, Jesus is described as Christ the first fruit. He's the first one raised and given a glorified body, but there is a future harvest that's yet to come. And that's when the resurrection takes place. Jesus also said it this way, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, and which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Everybody's going to be resurrected, but everybody's not going to end up at the same place. But the dead in Christ, in other words, if you've got believers who have gone on to be of the Lord, isn't that precious? The Lord's so precious. He allows us to have this reunion with them, and then we're going to be with him. It's like we are all gathered together, and then we caught up with him, with our newly glorified, resurrected bodies. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever is a long time. Forever is a long time. Now, very quickly, if you'd let me, in rapid fire, I just want to mention two or three instances of a number of things I could share across the years. And I'm sure Pastor Doc, Pastor Larry, Pastor Gary, others in here who have pastored, some of you who haven't, you've seen this stuff too. But it's amazing the type of beyond this realm stuff that you see happening around death. The way people sometimes behave right before they die. My stepmom, a day or two before she died, there was an angel appeared at the foot of her bed. She told me about that. Appeared before her. And it was just really did something deep and meaningful for her. The first church Mitchie and I pastored, our chairman of the deacons we had back in those days, he became deathly ill, and on his deathbed, I remember him lifting up his hands. He was in such pain. He said, "Lord Jesus, please come get me." Just a little bit later, he did. I was in a hospital with a lady that had been comatose, out of it for days, had not opened her eyes, had not acknowledged anything, no movement. Just like laying there. The family had gathered around her. I came into the room. They formed like a half circle around her bed. And I'm going to pray with the family. I said, "Well, let me read. I want to read Psalm 23. I started reading the Lord's, the shepherd's psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not..." I was reading Psalm 23. While I was reading that, all of a sudden, that woman, her eyes popped open. She sat up. And she started with the family member of the end of the line over here. It was just so bizarre how this happened. She just sat up, looked at that one for a moment intently, eye to eye. The next one, went through the whole family. Looked at me, went to the all the way over to the one on... When she got to the one on that end, she closed her eyes, laid back down, left her body, died. It was just an amazing thing. She'd been laying there like comatose. It's just like the Lord, out of his mercy and his goodness, allowed that family to have that fleeting moment before they left for glory. We don't fully comprehend all the kind of stuff that happens like that. When I was pastoring in Mississippi, I was there early. We had little kids at that time. I would go early to the church, like 5 in the morning, spend time in my office. I was down there, I think it's between 6 and 7 o'clock, and there was a lady who was pounding on the door. And I went around and I saw her. She was a young lady, like in her early to mid-30s, just pounding on the door. And I thought momentarily, somebody must be after her. So I went to the door and I let her in. She came. She was startled. She said, "I need to talk to a preacher." I said, "Well, you're looking at him." And so she said, "I got to tell you what just happened." I didn't know her, never seen her before in my life. She bolted in. She told me, she said, I was at my house this morning. I came down from upstairs. I made my cup of coffee. I had the coffee in my hand. I was walking, going to the living room to drink my coffee, and I went by the stairs. I looked up the stairs, and my daddy was standing at the top of the stairs. Well, I thought, well, he must have heard you and got up. You know, I'm thinking along those lines. And I said, she said, you don't understand. He lived in, I can't remember if she said New Jersey or Connecticut. One of those. She said, no, he doesn't live here in Mississippi. He lives up there. And she told me the name of that state. It was one of those northeastern states. And all of a sudden, I thought, okay. She said, he just stood at the top of the stairs and he was looking at me. And she said, while I'm looking up at him, I'm just stunned, he just disappears. And she was freaked out. She didn't know how to process that. And I shared with her, well, you know, there are times in scriptures like when Jesus was transfigured, there was Moses and Elijah. I mentioned a couple of things. And I said, but tell me, because I'm thinking, was he a believer? I said, is your dad? Yes, he was a Christian. She told me about that. I said, what about you? She said, no, I'm not. But interesting, she came pounding on the door of the church, right? So I had the opportunity to lead her to the Lord and hear her confess Jesus as Lord of her life. But that's just bizarre. You know, that she got in her car and drove to, she saw a church with a car in the parking lot. That's what she told me. Huh? Oh, yes, that's the rest of the story. That she said, you know, just a few minutes after this happened, she got a phone call and said her dad had just died. Wow. So, he died. He dies up in the northeastern part of the United States. She sees him at the top of her stairs in her home in Senatobia, Mississippi. Wow. Then finds out he had just died. I remember being in New Orleans, Louisiana. This was in 1996, June 12th. And I was down there at the Southern Baptist Convention. I woke up just wide awake, startled. My dad had been battling leukemia cancer, but he was in a good place. They thought they were going to be able to have it under control. And I startled awake, and my dad was so on my heart. Within minutes after I woke up, the phone rang, and I was informed my dad had just passed away. And I knew then, no, that was the Lord quickening me. Well, how does that work? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Sometimes He lets us in on stuff like that. Hey, something's happening in the spirit realm. Somebody you love, I'm preparing you for this. So when I got that call, I just had peace. Okay, peace with the Lord. Then I later found out when I talked to my stepmom, my dad had got on his knees when he went to bed that night and said, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of this battle. I just want to go be with you. And he went during his sleep. Do you know him? Would you stand with me? And as you stand, think of being raised from the dead. To stand up again. Do you know the Bible says until you're saved, you are dead in trespasses and sin? Therefore, when you're born again, there's a sense of a resurrection because new life comes into you. Yes. That God always intended humanity to have. It was lost in Eden. But when you get born again, then His Spirit comes to dwell in you. You were created to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come on up right now because there may be a number of you this morning. You just need someone to pray with you. Sometimes the simple, faith-filled prayers can do miraculous things. If you prayed earlier in this service for Christ to save you from your sins, or if you need to do that now, I invite you to come forward. Or maybe you're struggling with not really experiencing the Lord's leadership day by day. Listen, that's your birthright, to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'll be the first one to confess that sometimes I can get distracted and I'm not as in tune as I need to be of what the Lord's wanting to do or what's happening. We need to become more sensitive because this is all about being in union with the living Lord through His Spirit. Again, it's not a religious idea. It's a living reality. Do you know him? And to borrow from the Apostle Paul's prayer, oh Lord, may we know you. May we know the power of your resurrection and even how to suffer and handle it the way you did. May we know these things. Listen to this declaration as we prepare to respond. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Even that verse tells us that there is the expectation of a power working to us, in us, until the end of the age. Amen. And we're to live in the power of the resurrection. We're to live with awareness of union with the resurrected Christ. So, Father God, now speak to hearts in this room in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are and make your way forward. Let's just sing a moment before I dismiss. It's so important for you to have the opportunity for someone to pray with you if God is speaking to you. As we sing.
Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne.
Are there others? Make your way forward. Alive. And he wants you to live his life in your life. What Jesus died to give you. Before you go, allow me to declare this over your life, what Paul declared in Galatians 2, verse 20. I want to pluralize it. Now we are crucified with Christ, but the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. You see, it's not our life, but his life in us. May Christ live through you in a large fashion this week. Happy Resurrection Day. He lives. Make him known. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. God bless you. Join back with us next week, this Wednesday night. Have a blessed afternoon. This altar is open if you need prayer. Love you all. Blessings.